Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great, Steve. It's back again.
It's good to be back here with you again.
Yeah. We're actually going to start a new series. I think it's going to be a short one. I think it might only be two shows. We did a 9-part series on the cross and then 5 or 6 on discipleship. And
now what?
Now we're going to talk about ambassadors.
Ambassadors?
Yeah. Not political ambassadors.
Oh.
Although that's going to kind of come into it. But
I thought we were going to have some dignitaries here.
Reminds me of a story I read once where there was a famous evangelist whose name escapes me, and he was sitting on an airplane, and the guy sitting next to him said, "Well, so what do you do for a living?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm an ambassador." And the guy said, "Why, you're an ambassador? Wow." He goes, "What kind of ambassador? Who do you represent?" He goes, "Well, I'm an ambassador for Christ." And so the guy sitting next to him was like, "Oh, brother." But this is what we're going to talk about, because we are, in fact, ambassadors. And since we talked about the cross being the centerpiece of salvation, and then we did the series on discipleship with the broad road and the narrow road and surrendering everything to the Lord and following him, and despite whatever our hardships are going to be, what tribulations are going to be, and you can go back, you can go to the website at giftofgraceministries.org to hear all those shows. They're all archived there. And now that we've got that down, we're going to go into just, I think this week and next week on this idea that we're ambassadors. We're sent by someone to do something. Now, the apostles, of course, were kind of the first ambassadors. They got their commission right from Jesus himself, and they went into all of the known world at the time. They didn't come to Northeast Ohio, but they would have if they could have.
I think they would have liked it here.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, yeah, I don't know if they would have liked the winters. They wouldn't have been used to that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But
when they went out to preach, you know, they had the message right from the Lord himself.
Right.
And they didn't, as we talked a little bit about before, they didn't preach a seeker-friendly message, or they didn't go out and say, you know, we follow Jesus. Would you guys like to follow Jesus too? I mean, we're just suggesting that. You don't have to.
Right.
You can keep on, you know, following Mercury and Jupiter and all your gods. But, I mean, just consider this because, you know, after all, you might like it. This might enrich your life in some way.
Yeah.
That's not how they preached.
No, no, they didn't.
No, and they were aggressive preachers. And, you know, Paul was this kind of weird-looking dude who would show up someplace and start evangelizing people, and some people would throw stones at him, and some people would say, get out of here, and some people would listen. But he did it. They all did it because they knew that this was the message of salvation that they had firsthand from the Lord. They weren't preaching a feel-good message. They knew that this was going to be the only way for these people to be saved, and that they had to present the message of salvation.
Right. Right. Well, I think this leads into very, very appropriately our conduct as Christians.
Yes.
And even more importantly, the fact that we do represent a kingdom. We don't represent, you know, we don't represent a country. We're not ambassadors for the United States or, you know, for a foreign land. But if you think about what ambassadors do, they represent, they have a message that they carry. The message isn't their own. It's the message from the person that they represent.
Exactly. Yeah. This is what we're going to do today. And, you know, then we have to use one more time our good friend Peter, because, you know, we've, and Peter likes me, really does. He He really does. He likes me now.
I know he does.
I mean, sometimes he gets a little aggravated.
You give him all this airtime.
Sometimes he gets, you know, he gets a little aggravated sometimes, but, you know, it's okay. But, you know, if you remember the great sermon that Peter preached Pentecost morning, you know, he's one of the things he said at the end was, save yourself from this perverse generation. You know, he was already acting as an ambassador.
Was that last week that he said that?
No.
Oh.
No, not last week.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, he understood and proclaimed it. Of course, Pentecost had just happened. He had just been filled with the Spirit. And he wasn't sort of the bumbling big mouth fisherman he had been before. But he understood that the message of salvation was now going to be preached to this perverse generation.
Mm-hmm.
So he was telling people, if you want to be saved, you can't be like these people.
Right.
You got to come to this gospel.
Right.
So he started, you know, he didn't go out there and say, you guys can do whatever you want. Jesus loves everyone. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. I love you. You love me. Everybody's okay. Now let's go home.
It wasn't like Barney.
No.
Okay. That's
no.
Good.
He says, you know, he didn't make a lot of friends by saying this is a perverse generation.
No, he didn't.
Yeah. I mean, Pharisees would have hated that. So they, on Pentecost, he finally understood what Jesus had been saying about that. You know, Paul becomes probably the greatest ambassador. He wasn't on board yet.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gets converted, when he gets the message, he gets that apostolic authority.
Right.
This is apostolic authority. These guys are sent. You know, they're the sent ones.
Right.
And that's what apostolos in Greek was. They're the sent ones, just like an ambassador is sent. So mm-hmm. Paul goes out there, and he got commissioned, empowered, and he knew what his position was. And like we said when we did the series on the cross, he preached Christ and Christ crucified. He didn't preach his own ideas. He didn't add anything to the message.
Right.
Oh, once in a while, you know, he had an argument with Peter, or, you know, he had an argument about John Mark, you know, didn't really like Mark that much. But, you know, he was a human, but he knew what his position was. So I think, Steve, you should read a little short passage here.
From 2 Corinthians?
Yeah, if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21. So we'll give you 1 second to flip there. You should be there by now. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Ooh. Those are two very powerful verses.
Yeah.
The verse 21, the second verse that Steve just read, of course, is quoted a lot, and we're gonna talk about two, because that's the basic message of salvation, how Jesus, having no sin, became sin for us so that we might have his righteousness, so that we can have the righteousness of God because of him, not from the pathetic, meager righteousness that we have that's our own. But I want to start with the first verse about ambassadors. You know, what does this mean? Like, what does this mean for the church? What does this mean for us as Christians? And again, we're living in a very different culture than people were living in even 30 years ago. So this makes this even more important. Because, as Steve mentioned, an ambassador doesn't speak for himself. An ambassador is a representative of someone, or of a government, of a king, or a president. And he's a messenger that goes somewhere to give a message from his leadership. In other words, an ambassador doesn't act on his own authority. So the best example, as Stephen was saying, if you're the American ambassador to France, you don't walk around Paris going, here's what I think we should do here. You present the message that your government, that the American government, has given you. You don't present your own opinion.
Exactly.
If you go to a foreign leader, if the ambassador goes to a foreign leader and has a request or a demand or whatever, those aren't his demands. Mm-hmm. He's not the one who made those demands up.
Right.
He is a representative. So he says what he's commissioned to say.
Mm-hmm. There is a succession of authority that any ambassador mm-hmm. needs to be respectful of and obedient to.
Yeah.
Or else they're going to get a phone call.
Mm-hmm. And get fired.
And so this message that is being preached is one of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. And, you know, as he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though we were making this, his appeal through, as though God were making his appeal through us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what God does.
Yeah.
Because God uses us as individuals, as human beings, to take the message that he's given to us through the apostles, handed on through the apostles, down through the ages, to proclaim salvation in the name of Jesus, to mm-hmm. proclaim that there's forgiveness of sins in the blood of Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And if we add to that on our own, we are diluting the gospel
mm-hmm.
of its fullness.
Yes.
And it becomes about us and not about the gospel and not about the message that God has given us to proclaim. And so it's, you know, being an ambassador is a very serious position. It's a very noble position.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires that the person who is in that position is trustworthy.
Yes, exactly.
Very trustworthy.
Exactly.
And this is why, you know, Jesus would say, I only do what I see the Father doing.
Mm-hmm.
I only speak what I hear the Father speaking. Even Jesus was under the authority of the Father
mm-hmm.
to proclaim the word,
mm-hmm.
you know, to proclaim this gift of salvation. So, and, you know, where he says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God
mm-hmm.
by being these an ambassador for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Paul says many times in his letters, I'm a bondservant, I'm a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how do you go from being a slave to an ambassador?
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Yeah.
I mean, an ambassador, someone who's chosen to be an ambassador, is a distinguished person who's very educated, very knowledgeable,
mm-hmm.
knows something about the country that he's going to, is well-respected by the diplomatic community.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate has to approve him to be ambassador.
Right.
I mean, they don't just pick somebody off the street and say, hey, Ralph, would you like to be ambassador to Kenya? Okay. Okay. You don't like Kenya? Okay. How about, you know, with some
else,
other country?
Yeah.
Because this is a very serious position.
Right. And if you think about, if you think about the confirmation hearings when somebody's going to be appointed as an ambassador to any country or to the United Nations or something like that, you know, if you've never looked at or studied how that confirmation hearing goes, it'd be interesting just to take a look at it because it's a very rigorous process.
Yes, very.
So what would the process be for an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven? And, you know, as I said, you know, Paul says, I'm a slave. I'm a bondservant for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the key is that he understands that he's a servant.
Yes.
And he's not there to be served, but to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the key things as being an ambassador for God,
mm-hmm.
is that, one, the message isn't our own.
Right.
And neither is the position of authority that we're given
right.
one to be abused.
Exactly.
And Jesus would point that out to the Pharisees all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lay burdens on people, but you don't lift a finger to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So this ambassadorship, if you will, that we're given is really a great honor
mm-hmm.
to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not a privilege. It's right. not a right,
mm-hmm.
but it's a, you know, it's mm-hmm. a, one of service.
Yeah. And we have that. We have that privilege to, of being ambassadors for mm-hmm. him.
Yeah.
Because we're believers. We've all been commissioned. We have mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit dwelling within us right. to show us what to do, to mm-hmm. show us that commission. And, you know, that's an excellent point, because the ambassador doesn't talk with his own authority.
Right.
We don't go someplace and say, okay, here's who I am and here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. We have his authority that we speak with.
Right.
And we don't add our own opinion. Like an ambassador of the United States to some other country wouldn't go into an office and say, well, my government, the president said that I should tell you this. And oh, by the way, my opinion about this is, and we can't be ambassadors for Christ to do that. We can't go someplace and proclaim the gospel to somebody and say, well, okay, that's what Jesus told me to say. But you know, personally, I'm not so sure that that's right. you wouldn't be very much of an ambassador.
No, you're not.
You can't have your own opinions. You can't go someplace and then say, well, you know, Jesus told me to say this, but I think he kind of overemphasized this point. So mm-hmm. I just want to make sure you get that it's not really that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Because now you're adding your own opinion and you're putting authority where you don't have authority. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to say what you're commissioned to say. And we talked about this, the what's called the Great Commission is the best example of that. You know, you're going to go out in the whole world and proclaim this message. And, you know, that was their commissioning. That was their instruction of what they were going to do. And when an ambassador goes somewhere, if that government that he's talking to turns on him and says, oh, we don't agree with that, and we think that that's a horrible idea, and we think your government is stupid, they're not criticizing him. They're criticizing the government that sent him. Mm-hmm. They're criticizing the authority that sent him. If there's contempt for him, it's contempt for the one that sent him. You know, when we encounter in the world today contempt for Jesus, as we do whenever you turn on the television and whenever you go out in public or wherever you go to almost any place now, since mm-hmm. Our society has changed so much.
Yeah.
You know, and if you say something about it and someone attacks you, you know, what they're also again attacking the one who sent you. Not so much you personally, but, you know, when the ambassador gets attacked, it's an offense to the authority that sent the ambassador.
Yeah.
And, you know, Paul was very good at this, because he went somewhere and said, you know, I don't speak with eloquent words, and I'm not here to debate you, and I'm not here to show you how smart I am. I'm just here to preach Christ and Christ crucified, because that's what he told me to do. So if they said, Paul, get out of here, we don't agree with what you're saying, you're kind of weird, he didn't start yelling at them saying, what do you mean weird? I'm not weird. He said, okay, thank you very much, and went on to the next town, mm-hmm. as they all did.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's the example. Because when the ambassador's being rejected, the person who sent them is being rejected.
Yeah.
Ooh. First break already.
Wow.
I was just getting on a roll. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. And also search for podcasts. Their website will tell you where to find them. We'll be back in just a minute.
I want to be close to your side, where heaven is real and death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy, none beside thee, God. Heart, loving the world, hating the
before him, the demons run and flee.
At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Yeah, it is.
Oof. That's from the CD called Your Great Name. Yes. I got it right.
You got it right.
Go to WilburMinistries.com and just order it.
WilburMinistries.com?
Yeah, you'll like it when it comes.
All their CDs?
Yeah, all of them. Order whatever CDs are there.
They're all good.
Well, there's probably about 20 of them.
They're all good.
Maybe order them one or two at a time.
Yeah, that's an awesome song.
Yeah, it's an awesome song. That is his daughter-in-law singing, and I forget who the other guy, who the male voice is, and then falls in a little bit of it, too.
Yeah.
So we're talking about ambassadors. And then when you go to, when an ambassador goes to another place, he goes to the embassy. He goes to an embassy. Now, the embassy actually belongs to the country that the ambassador's from.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually sovereign territory.
Right.
So if you go to Paris and find the American embassy to France, that is actually considered the United States.
Yes.
It's not France. So as long as you're in the grounds of the embassy, you're actually in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this brings up some interesting points, too, because when you're in that compound or lot or whatever it is. And Paris is probably not fortified, but in some places they're quite fortified. The laws of the country around it don't apply there.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you're in the American embassy in Morocco, you're living in the embassy. The laws of Morocco don't apply there.
Right.
As long as you're in that embassy.
Right.
The laws of the United States apply to you.
Right.
Because it's sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul makes this comparison. He doesn't make it directly, but what he implies is if we're an ambassador, we're living in an embassy, which is the church.
Mm-hmm.
The rules of the world don't apply to the church.
Right.
And, you know, we're not to bring the laws of Morocco into the American embassy, and we're not to bring the laws of the world into the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a separate embassy, a separate compound, a separate piece of land that's not part of the country that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you think about an embassy, there's defense around it.
Yeah.
There's Marines. There's, in many places, barricades, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And there's a military guard that guards the embassy. And I was thinking about this, and, you know, the symbolism of this that came to my mind is, just like those Marines are there to protect the American diplomats that are inside that compound, the church is an embassy, and we have to protect ourselves from the laws of the world coming in, mm-hmm. from the laws of the world infiltrating.
Yes.
From the spirit of the world, if you want to call it that, or as St. John called it, spirit of Antichrist, coming into the community. We have to have a defense around that. And this is another part, I think, of what it means to be an ambassador, because you're coming out from a church going into a place that you don't belong to. We're not citizens of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we're passing through.
Yeah.
And somewhere, I don't remember exactly where it is, it says our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah. As you're talking about that, there's a few things that come to mind, and that's John 17, where Jesus is praying, and you're acceding to the Father for all those who've been chosen and who come to believe in the message through the apostles, through this apostolic succession, through these ambassadors for Christ. And in 17:15, Jesus says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it.
Yeah.
As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, and they too may be truly sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're speaking about, you know, being in an embassy, the church is that embassy, if you will, where the kingdom of heaven, you know, the laws of the kingdom of heaven are there.
Yes.
They should be.
Right.
And if we allow people to bring in the secularization of culture into the church, we diminish greatly. We turn, you know, the church into nothing.
Exactly.
You know.
The analogy would be, if you heard on the news tonight that the American embassy in Morocco is now going to use Morocco's laws, and they're not going to use American laws, everybody would be horrified.
Yeah.
But yet, the church has been doing this as the world has slowly crept in, and the church's defenses have gone down, and the world has gradually come in. And this is, I think, a very important part of what Paul's talking about, being an ambassador, because we can't be an ambassador for Christ if we want to be in the world.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it brings up, you bring up a very good point there, that we cannot be an ambassador for Christ if we want to straddle the fence. If we want to have one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. Well, you know, like we were talking about last week, the rich, or the young man who wanted to go and bury his father. Lord, I'm going to bury my father first. I want to go say goodbye to my family first. No, you go and preach the kingdom. There was a call to be an ambassador, to proclaim the gospel message, to proclaim salvation to the nations. And you got to have both feet in the game, if you will.
Yes.
You know, you can't have one foot on the fence. You can't be, well, I'll do it some of the time, but you know, when I'm away from that, then I want to do this. That doesn't work either.
Right.
Because the things of the world creep in. And they can overtake because they're pleasurable. And we get enticed by them.
Yes.
We're tempted by them.
Yes.
Everybody has a weakness. Every human being on the planet has a weakness. And if you don't know what your weaknesses are, you're easy pickings for the evil
one. Oh, yeah.
Because he knows your weaknesses.
Yes.
He knows my weaknesses. He knows yours. And the devil constantly strikes at our weaknesses to get us to act not as an ambassador for God, but to really act out of character for what we've been called to as children of God, as heirs to the kingdom.
Yes.
And in being an ambassador, we really need to conduct our affairs ourselves in such a manner that everything we do speaks for the kingdom.
Yes. And not for the world.
And not for the world.
We can't have, we have to put the guards back up at the door, figuratively, to not let the world in.
Yeah.
When you have an embassy in a foreign country that's hostile, and you say, well, we're not going to have guards anymore. We'll just take down the fence, take down the Marines, don't worry. Then what's going to happen? The embassy's going to be overwhelmed.
overrun, overtaken.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what's the difference? The embassy now, if the embassy doesn't exist anymore, instead of having a little piece of the United States in Morocco, just to pick on Morocco again, you've got Morocco where the embassy used to be. Mm-hmm. So you've got the world has come in to the church.
Yeah.
And we've seen in our lifetime the world come into the church, whether you're talking about life issues, marriage issues, general ethical and moral behavior. It's been getting more lax and more lax and more lax as time has gone on, to the point of, oh, well, you know, maybe it's not such a big deal after all. Mm-hmm. And maybe those people are nice too. And well, maybe we kind of went overboard on this Judeo-Christian morality because these people, this seems to be okay. It's, we have to be tolerant and it sounds good and we want people to think that we're tolerant. So next thing you know, the world's in.
Yeah.
And you've got Jesus saying, you have to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to be in the embassy in Morocco, but we're not supposed to be Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, divorce is another huge example. You know, divorce has become more and more and more tolerated. When I was growing up, I knew one, I had one friend whose parents were divorced. Can you imagine? Now, if you're a kid now, at least half of your friends' parents are divorced.
Yeah.
Or maybe were never married in the first place. Or, you know, whatever. But the issue is that the world has been coming into the church because the defenses of the embassy haven't been as strong as they should have been. And as part of the thing about being an ambassador is your home embassy has to be able to support you and be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out and be an ambassador for Christ if your church, your authority, is saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter, whatever you feel like doing. Oh, well, whatever anybody wants to do is fine. Then what are you representing? You know, what gospel are you representing? Are you going out into the countryside and saying, hey, whatever you guys want to do is okay. My government says anything you guys want to do is okay. They'll say, fine, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Then we'll just keep doing what we're doing.
You know, and as you, before you were talking about that, I was looking at Matthew where, you know, Jesus says, where the Pharisees are asking him about divorce. And he said, you know, mm-hmm. Moses gave you a bill of divorce because of the hardness of your heart.
Exactly.
And in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 31, he says, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for sexual immorality makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus is correcting.
Yes, exactly.
What man had done.
Exactly.
To God's law.
Exactly.
Jesus is the authority.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good example of someone, mm-hmm. this would be an example of an ambassador saying, well, oh gosh, you know, if I don't give these people a bill of divorce, you know, I'm going to lose my position here and they're going to get upset with me. And Jesus says, I tell you.
Yeah.
That anyone who does this,
mm-hmm.
commits adultery.
That's right. And if you marry another one, you commit adultery with her.
Yeah.
It's
because
pretty clear cut.
The covenant of marriage is eternal. In mm-hmm. sickness or in health, and rich for richer or for poorer, till death do us part. Not until you don't feel like it anymore.
if you're having a good day.
I'm just getting tired of this relationship. I just want a different one.
Yeah.
Doesn't cut it.
I'm going to leave for a few months. I'll be back.
Yeah. I mean, and this is where we don't speak on our own.
Exactly.
We speak the truth that God has entrusted mm-hmm. to the church, mm-hmm. to us as apostles of the Lord.
Yeah.
And to be disciples of the Lord,
exactly.
I should say, as ambassadors for Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is what's at stake, because when someone waters down the message,
mm-hmm.
you dilute the cross of its meaning and power. You dilute the sacrifice that Jesus
absolutely
made
right.
of its significance.
Absolutely right.
And this is what Paul talks about over and over and again.
That's right.
In all of his letters to the communities.
Yes. It's not his words. It's not about him. It's not his eloquence.
Nope.
It's not how intelligent he is. It's the message of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't, I mean, we're talking about Morocco and stuff to use an example, but our country, our surrounding country is a mission field that's right outside our door. Yeah. Right outside, or the place that you work.
Exactly.
Or the place that you go to the store. Or the, I mean, it's everywhere that you go.
Mm-hmm.
You're an ambassador. Because instead of the president or the king or whoever it is sending you, the kingdom of God has sent you, commissioned you. You right. represent Christ.
Right.
He says we're ambassadors for Christ. And then he goes on to tell you what it is that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to bring reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
That's our duty.
Yep.
It says God is pleading with us.
Yeah.
And it's reconciliation with him. It's not necessarily reconciliation between people, although we have to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
We have to strive for that as well. But people need to be reconciled to him because everyone, and that's everyone, all capital letters, has a sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's not like, well, you know, 20% of people don't have a sin problem and 80% do. It's everybody has a sin problem.
Everybody.
And God, it says, he says God is pleading to be reconciled with us. We need to preach reconciliation. This is the point of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This is the point of the whole plan of salvation unfolding through the whole scriptures. We are ambassadors that go out in his name, capital H, capital N, we go out in his name, and we represent Jesus to them as the only entryway into the kingdom, as the only entryway into reconciliation, as the only entryway into the wedding supper of the Lamb, to paradise, to all these things that are used. Because through him is the only way,
mm-hmm.
the only way to be reconciled. You know, taking a can of food to the hunger center once a month doesn't make up for one of your sins.
Yeah.
Helping a little old lady across the street doesn't even make up for two of your sins that you've done that day. Or,
yeah.
But Jesus is the only reconciliation, and this is our duty to preach. We represent that message. And we have to portray that to the people that we're talking to.
Yeah.
Just like the American ambassador in Morocco tells the Moroccans about American stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about our kingdom and we represent that message. Because as we've said many times on this show, God uses defective, simple people like us to do his work.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't write the message of salvation in the sky, and you don't see it flashing over the TV 24 hours a day. We are the ones that have to do it. We represent the plan. We do the evangelization. And the message is that there's reconciliation only in Christ, only in what Jesus did on the cross. We have to present him as the Redeemer, as the Mediator, as the Savior. That's what we're commissioned to say.
And, you know, Romans chapter 5 really, I think, embodies this,
mm-hmm.
where he says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
through whom we have gained access to this grace in which we stand.
Mm-hmm.
And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that afflictions produce endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Ooh.
And I'm going to finish reading this because this is really important. For Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. Indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm-hmm.
How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life?
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation.
Yes. And that's the message we
have
to say.
That's the message we have to
as ambassadors.
Exactly.
Ooh. Oh. It's another break. Just when we're on a roll. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
There is is a noise. There is a sound. There is a cry from the depths of our hearts. Heaven come down. We'll not be silenced. Can't be contained. The cry of a people, a priesthood, a nation called by your name. Out of the darkness, redeemed from the night, bathed in his glory, reflecting his light.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
That is an awesome song.
We're in the last segment already. I can't even believe it.
And that really...
So we have to bring the message of reconciliation. This is the message that the King gives us to present to everyone around us, not only the people in Morocco, but the people everywhere around us, because he works through us. And then Paul goes to verse 21, which shows... The purity of the Savior. He knew no sin, but then he became sin. He becomes the curse He has no blemish or stain of his own. But the message is that because of the Messiah, Yeshua, the God-man, that is the plan of reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we have to preach. And this is from the head of state, so to speak. And,
yes,
you know, we're going out, when we go out of the embassy and go out into the surrounding territory, when we go from the embassy into Morocco in the street, you hear people say, well, that's what you believe. But I believe that if you're good, if you're this, if you're that, if you go up the mountain on this road rather than that road, there's all different ways of reconciliation with God. There's all different ways of salvation. And what we have to present is not our opinion, but we have to present what the truth of the plan actually is.
Mm-hmm.
That you become his righteousness, because your own righteousness is pathetic. This Savior becoming the curse and being crucified for you, taking the punishment that you deserve, is how you're justified and how you're saved. And this is the plan. We actually carry an ultimatum with us that this is the only way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. You know, as Paul talks about, like in Galatians chapter 5, where he says, you know, to live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, Jesus, the Pharisees were asking, well, Lord, what do I have to do to, you know, fulfill the commands?
Mm-hmm.
You know, love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, love your neighbor as yourself, you know. And Paul will say later on, I think it's in Romans, that, you know, for the one who loves, they fulfill the law. For yes. Love fulfills the law, and there's no transgressions against it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we're talking about being an ambassador for the Lord, you know, how do we've talked a lot about the message of reconciliation, about the power of the cross and the message of the cross. And how does that transform our heart? How does that transform our mind?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that transform our lives so that we then live for the kingdom of heaven and we proclaim the message of reconciliation and we don't, fall back into our old ways, our old habits, our old self, and we try to have this new wine in this old wineskin.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, when Jesus is talking about, you know, nobody pours new wine into an old wineskin because it'll burst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we try and take the things of the Spirit and mix them with our old self,
yeah,
it's going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's not going to mix.
That's right.
Because the truth of God's word is going to eventually convict your heart, mm-hmm, that you're living in such a way that is not righteous,
yeah,
in God's eyes.
Paul says, make no provision for the flesh. We right. talked about that.
Right. None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's being called not out of obligation, but out of love.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's a big difference, because when you love someone, you'll do anything for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't love that person, humanly speaking, you're probably going to go, I'm not going to do anything for them.
That's right.
But the love of Christ impels us and demands that we react in such a way that we do act in love in accordance with God's will.
And as you said in that scripture, you know, about love, if you truly love someone, you'll die for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'll die for your wife. You'll die for your children. You'll sacrifice yourself in order to save one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone you don't really care about, you say, well, I'm not going to die for him. I mean, you know, I don't really like him that much anyway.
Never did care about him.
Yeah. But this overwhelming love, this, amazing love, as I like to quote from the song, I mean, this amazing love is what we have to present to the world as ambassadors, because right now the gospel's under attack from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the churches, it's under attack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you're a sincere, good Hindu, or you're a sincere, nice person, whatever you are, you know, God honors that and does the thing. Well, you know, That's not the gospel. Mm-hmm. We're ambassadors for the gospel. We're not ambassadors for tolerating any system of belief and of behavior. And we cannot add, as we said before, our own opinions to this, because we've been commissioned to represent a government, essentially, to represent a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And we are used to present the plan of our government to the world.
Yeah. And we do that through the word, through the written mm-hmm. word, through the spoken word mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, as Paul says in Galatians 5 here, he says, I say then live by the Spirit. This is 5:16. I say then live by the Spirit and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And I think we're going to have to pick this up next week.
Yeah, you're all over coming again.
He came in.
Well, anyway, we'll be back with some more ambassadors next week. I hope you're having an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the grace of God's Spirit will transform your heart, your mind, and everything that you do for the kingdom of God. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.